All right, so I think that we are live. Thank you everyone for tuning in. And I'm here with my favorite guest. I don't know, I'm not going to say favorite cousin yet, but my favorite guest, my cousin, Nick Capozzi. How are you, my man?
I'm good, but I'm 44. If I'm not your favorite cousin yet, I don't know that that's actually ever going to convert to something bigger for
me. Hey, man, I have so many cousins, and it's difficult. It's difficult to pick a favorite, but you're definitely my favorite podcasting guest, though. How's that?
Oh, I'll take it. That's a big deal. Can I be your favorite cousin that lives in America?
Yeah, my favorite American cousin. Deal. See that? Okay. We've already brought value to this conversation. Let me just make sure. Hey, everyone, just so you know, I'm alone in the office right now because of this COVID situation. So if there's any comments on the feed, Kyler is at home and he's going to text me. So he'll text me the questions or comments. And I just want to make sure that someone shared. If we're broadcasting live from my personal page, please make sure it's shared on Simply PHP and vice versa. I think the goal today, Nick, was to broadcast live on my personal page and our company page, which we happen to have the privilege of having both live capability. So, Nick, where are you right now? You're at home in Phoenix, right?
I'm in Phoenix, Arizona, my friend. Phoenix, Arizona.
Okay. So what's going on? Just quickly, are you guys locked down? Are you opening up? Tell me something good, man. Give me some good news.
Everything's open here. You just got to mask up, but everything's open. It's life as normal, except you wear a mask every time you get out of the car. So.
Okay. Outside also then, right? So if I'm driving, I get out of my car, I want to go to a bar, I mask up. When I'm sitting down in my chair in the bar or restaurant, then I can take my mask off?
Correct.
Okay, beautiful. All right. Well, that's good.
But it's interesting. I mean, my wife is actually a nurse practitioner. She works in a hospital. So, you know, she's seeing the kind of front lines of it. And, you know, it's I'm ready for this to be over.
Yeah, of course.
I need to come to Canada.
Yeah, well, I was supposed to come in March to see you. So right back at you, buddy.
All right.
So we're talking about, okay, let's get right into it because I know you have a hard stop at the top of the hour. We're talking about building rapport, which is the most important thing for fill in the blank. Is that the most important thing for a salesperson, for a person in general? Like, talk to me a little bit about rapport and how important it is.
So it's interesting, you know, just real quick on my background, I was in the cruise industry for 20 years. So I actually lived on cruise ships for about a decade. And what would happen is that, you know, if you're coming to take a cruise from Montreal, let's say Tony comes on a cruise, you know, it's December, it's snowy, he's excited, the ship looks amazing. All these revenue departments, the spa, the casino, and I'm carve out this little space to sell duty free. And, you know, I'm fighting against the sun and the other departments to get Tony to come and look at what I got. So, you know, one thing for me was I would always just ask people, you know, where are they from? Where are you visiting from? And, you know, most of my guests were American. Mm-hmm. And one thing I learned really quickly was that, you know, after their families and themselves, Americans really like to talk about where they're from. It's very tribal and they wear it in their colors, right? Like I'm wearing my University of Wisconsin t-shirt. Oh, don't talk to me about Minnesota, right? Go Badgers, go.
Okay.
So what was interesting was that I was going to have 4,000 guests come on for a week. And how do I build engagement with them quickly so that I become the guy that they want to keep coming back to and talking to and having conversations. And it was interesting. I was having this conversation earlier today. I never sold anything. And the reason that I never sold anything was I would get people, you know, excited to want to come talk to me. And they would then, you know, just being around me, start to figure out what they want, starting asking questions about the products because I had built a relationship with them. And that started off with, you know, where are you from? What are you into? Whatever it was. And I, sorry, Tony, but I fully admit, yeah, I was in E2C. I was, you know, business to consumer. And now I'm seeing a lot more B2B sales presentations. And what blows my mind is there's no rapport building. It's like right into, okay, Tony, here's the agenda. Here's the things we're going to talk about. Let's start going. Right. And to me, it's a gap that's missed, but you know, I don't know. It's all new to me. So
that's a great point too, because I know in person, you're like a larger than life guy. You're 6'4", big guy. You know, you have the charisma that your dad has. Your dad, by the way, is the master of rapport building and Mr. Charisma. Your dad, Louis. But I kind of feel that you're talking about like where you're from. So is it really asking the person questions that actually leads to rapport? Because I know a lot of people, you know, people like to talk about themselves. And I personally find that if I really want to make someone at ease with me, that I ask them questions. Does that sort of fit into what you're saying, or is it really specifically where you're from?
No, it can be any kind of question. And actually, I'll be posting a post in January on LinkedIn about, you know, the Easter eggs that you find in someone's LinkedIn profile. So anytime that before I have a conversation, let's say with you today, Tony, I pull up, and I did pull up your LinkedIn profile, right? Mm-hmm. I'm looking at where people are from. I'm looking at, you know, maybe where they went to college, especially in the U.S., because Americans, you know, really move around the country a lot, which is kind of unique, I found, to Americans. There's a lot of these, you know, 3-day intensive courses that Harvard, you know, does or Northwestern does. Oh, you took the contract negotiation 3-day course at Harvard. What was interesting? What was the key takeaway for you? I've looked at that. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, it gets so granular that people put under accreditations, like, I'm a ski instructor. No way. Where did you grow up skiing? Oh, Western Pennsylvania. I didn't even know there was skiing in Western Pennsylvania. Yeah, it's super icy. Mm-hmm. And if you can ski in Western PA, what have I done now? I've opened the door to all kinds of conversations. I let the person I'm talking to highlight themselves, and it makes them feel more comfortable. And at the end of the day, you know, you can never forget this. People buy from people they like. Right.
Yeah, that's true.
And people like people who like them. So every time I see them, like, Tony, that's natural for me. But because in your mind, subconscious, you're like, Nick likes me, I like Nick even more now. Right.
Nice. And I know now that people are prioritizing Zoom and Google Meet, you know, video chats when they meet prospects or potential clients for the first time, which I find is a huge advantage. I find it so much better than the phone, because I remember pre-COVID, it was basically, you know, I would try my best to get someone to agree to a video call, but it was mostly telephone. And do you find that it's, okay, obviously building rapport in person is probably the easiest for someone like you, okay? Do you find that the move, we'll call it Zoom video, do you find the move to Zoom video has made it easier to build rapport as opposed to just the phone call?
I think it's easier because if I met someone on a cruise ship, even though we'd meet in person and it's easy to build rapport with people that way in person, with Zoom, I have a whole new inventory of tools I can use, right? So I can be talking to you right now and I can pull up your LinkedIn profile. You wouldn't even know.
Yeah, that's right.
So there's all kinds of ways that I can add to my, you know, what I'm trying to talk about or maybe what I'm arguing, pro or con. Mm-hmm. And then it's even, let me show you some. Actually, you know what? Let me show you something quick. Can I share a screen with you? Mm-hmm. So just having, you know, before, if I was on a cruise ship, I'm trying to pull all these things up on a phone, and maybe I got good reception or Wi-Fi in that moment, and then people are looking at this little screen. Whereas now I've got the Internet of Things here, which I do on my phone, but it's just amplified, I find. So I actually really kind of prefer, nothing beats in person, but this is pretty darn effective as its own medium.
Yeah, people are definitely getting used to it. I find building rapport is also fun. Like, if I could spend my whole day talking to strangers, you know, prospective clients, I would be happy. That's a real fun part of my day. Asking people questions, getting to know them is great for me, for someone like you as well. What would your advice be to someone who's more of an introvert? Let's say you have a freelance programmer or someone that's just starting out in sales perhaps and is a little bit shy, a little bit inverted. What's your advice to them for, you know, how do they do it? How do they build rapport if they're shy? Like what are the steps to take to get better at this?
So it's interesting. And you know, what's funny is that you do meet some introverts in sales, right? But it's typically more extroverted people. And it's because it is a lot of talking and getting to know people. And I second what you just said. I could just talk to people all day. And I thought it would be very difficult for me to transition going Zoom to Zoom, but I talk to interesting entrepreneurs all day. It's such a happy place for me. But to your question, the best thing to do, and I'll probably circle back to this a couple times because it's so effective, is just find the Easter eggs in someone's profile and then find the things that you like to talk about. So if you're a developer talking to another developer and you see that they have accreditation in a certain type of development language, and now I'm this is not my space, so
yeah, be careful. Yeah. There's a lot of developers listening.
but you know, it can be as simple as, oh, hey, listen, I noticed that you had this accreditation in ABC. You know, what was the best takeaway for you out of that? Or have you really, I've been thinking about taking this course or really learning this programming language. Has it been very useful to you? Is it something you're using a lot?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So just finding those cohesive points where you can actually start a conversation with someone. And it goes back to what we said earlier. It's, let me ask about you. I don't talk about me. I'll give you my pitch in 45 seconds in a very conversational way that you don't realize I'm giving you a 45 second elevator of what I do.
Mm-hmm.
But then I shut up and I listen and I try to ask really good questions, you know?
Yeah. I love that we keep coming back to asking questions. I think that's gold. That's just answer and listen when the person is replying, as opposed to thinking about what you're going to say next, right? Just listen, be engaging.
Yeah, I was waiting. I was listening. I was waiting.
So,
no, but I'm going to.
That's why you're you.
No, but awesome. Tony, I'm going to tell you something. And this really was something I started thinking about a little over a year ago when you and I were in Montreal together and we had some live conversations that we actually filmed at that time.
Yeah.
But I always knew this about you, but there was something, a light bulb went off during those conversations about what a good listener you are. And even for myself that, you know, with 20 plus years of sales experience, I started to realize, man, I don't listen near as well as I should. And, you know, that became an exercise over the last year for me of how do I ask a question or how do I give a piece of information in my presentation that will lead you to ask a question I want you to ask,
mm-hmm.
right? And how do I listen? Because the reality is that the more you let people talk, the more you're going to find things that you can pick up and run with, right? So I have made a concerted effort, really, the last 14 months to be a better listener. And that's thanks to you.
Oh, that's great, Nick. You know, that's great to hear. But it's funny that I also see that your rhythm sometimes will slow down. And when you just slow down in that last little, you know, those sentences that you just spoke to me, I found I listened even more. So is that something like those patterns of speech, is that something that is done purposely or is it just something that happens?
Without question. So I'll go a little bit deeper.
Okay.
I went to Humber College in Toronto for radio, and I worked in radio and TV for about 5 years. And everything I did was like learning how to ad lib and talk, right? And on a, such a higher plane. And you know, that's how I wound up on the cruise ship. One day at a party, someone said, "Can you do that radio thing on a stage?" And I said, "Yes, I can." Next thing I know, I'm stepping onto a ship in Miami. And nice. So the other thing is that I was a live sales presenter. So I have like 20,000 hours of live pitching to 500 people at a time on average. So all that subconscious body language I picked up, all those things together, that milkshake of things all stirred up together, you know, makes me present the way that I present. And there's no question that tempo and pace and when to pause effectively is so critical for pulling people in. And I'll just give you an example. You know, when I was training all these people to be these live pitchers on stage, you know, I'd get these young people, you know, a lot of girls that would be, they would be so excited about what they were talking about. And they would, hey, listen, I got some really interesting information that we're going to talk about. And they were smiley and bubbly and everything was happy. And it was true, right? It was engaging. They were happy. But the problem was that because they maintained the same tempo and pace the entire time, they would get tuned out.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So there are times that I do need to speak quickly if I have to give you a lot of information. But if I'm building up to a reveal of something, right, or I really want to hammer home that key word, that's when you want to pause and play with tempo. And it's, you know, it was me, it's all these hours of me walking across back and forth on a stage talking to these people and making sure no one got up out of their seat and left the theater, right? Nice. So I can teach some of it conceptually, but the reality is it's a lot of it's subconscious of all those hours of reading live body language. And what's even more interesting, and it's been a very good tool for me in my sales career, is that because I'm pitching to 500 people that are from New York, California, Texas, Iowa, how I've developed my own cadence appeals to all areas of America because that's who my audience was for all those hours.
Nice, nice. Yeah. I find that sometimes, and this is going to be a question to you, I find that sometimes I develop the pattern of the person that I'm speaking to. So let's say, for example, I'm going to speak to someone who talks really, really fast. I fall into that pattern, and then I start talking really, really fast. And it's the same when I speak to you. I try not to do it anymore, but sometimes when I speak to you, I find myself developing your speech pattern, and it's not natural for me, so I don't sound as good. Is there something that you do to stay away from that, or is that something that you encourage? So let's say, for example, I'll give you another example. If I'm talking to someone on the phone, and they're very tired, and they're talking very slowly without energy, what do you do? Do you adapt that same cadence? Or do you say, well, listen, it's very nice to talk to you. Do you, like, try to pull them out of it? Like, what is your process when you come up to someone with a very fast speech pattern or someone with a very slow pattern?
That's a really good question. And what I'll tell you is that whatever is authentic to you and genuine to you is what you should do. But what you're talking about is something called mirroring. And it's done a lot in sales on a subconscious and on a conscious level. You do it subconsciously. I do it subconsciously until I catch myself and then I notice it. But it depends on the person you're talking to. With some people, you know, you definitely want to match their energy. I could just think of the phone calls I had today. So at one point I was talking to this really excitable person. So this is how I talk for the entire conversation. Knowing I'm coming to talk to you, who's, you know, you got a mellow pace about you and you're very good at pausing and listening. There's no doubt in my mind that I've subconsciously stepped into this conversation expecting a certain cadence from you that I've likely matched. Here's what's interesting, and this is where it can be problematic, and this is a problem I have. If I'm talking to someone from New York, I will eventually, in the first minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, start to sound a little bit more like a New Yorker. And I don't do that purposefully. It happens, and then I catch myself, and I'm like, I need to be careful, because then that can be perceived as a little bit disingenuous, where they're like, wait, you're from New York, but I thought you were from Canada, right? But I don't do it on purpose. It really happens that way, right? If I'm hanging out with people that, you know, I live in the Southwest in Arizona, I'm hanging around people that say y'all instead of, you know, you people or you all or whatever, yeah. I start saying y'all, right?
I've been there before, and you do kind of feel a little bit silly once you start trying to match people's accents. It's hard not to.
So the key thing is, I think, is that mirroring is an effective technique. There's so much data that proves that it works, but whatever the authentic place for you is. So for me, it's very authentic, and I'll catch myself sometimes and be like, whoa, I need to be careful. But it's the same thing. I mean, I grew up speaking French. I never get to speak French anymore. When I land in Montreal, you know, I left in 95, I think. When I land in Montreal, it takes me a couple of days for my French to catch up, right? And then after 2 or 3 days of just being in the store and whatever at the dépanneur and getting what I needed, you know, my French catches up very quickly, but the first few days is very rusty. And then what's also interesting is just from a language perspective is my slang when I talk in French is from the mid-90s. So I must sound so dated when I talk to someone.
It's funny. Anytime I speak to someone in the U.S., they normally tell me that I have a French accent. And I'm like, what? What do you mean I have a French accent? I feel I talk like
someone. So the Montreal accent is very distinct. And I can nail someone. Other parts of Canada is a little bit tougher.
Okay.
And geographically, I can get someone from the U.S. Is it Texas, but maybe bleeding into Louisiana or Oklahoma? But a Montrealer, I'm like, oh, you're from Montreal, right?
Okay, that's cool.
And it's that distinct hybrid of English and French that makes for a very unique cadence and pace and also just the language. So I'll go down a rabbit hole really quick, but I was talking to someone about this earlier today. Growing up in Montreal was a unique experience in that it's the most Europeanized North American city. There's more European cities in North America, Quebec City as an example, but Montreal was this hybrid of this Romance language city where we were drawn into architecture and art, and these were conversations we had as teenagers, right, which is something that very few places in North America have. And it was that hybrid European North American upbringing that I feel that I had, you know, and that nice. I think gives me a distinct advantage. But there's no doubt, circling back, I went down the rabbit hole, I'm back out, but circling back, Montreal has a very distinct accent. And I don't think it's that it's French. I think it's that when people hear it, they recognize it's a distinct accent. But a lot of times they've had a francophone person talking to them in English where they recognize that cadence and just the way that the words are pronounced.
Okay, nice. Very nice. I'm just going to check. I've been checking my phone, not because I'm being rude, but Kyler is home. So, he's keeping track of, any comments or questions that the audience may have. So I don't have any questions or comments right now. So I know that we have about 15 minutes left because you have a hard stop at the top of the hour, Nick. I wanted to ask, I guess we were talking about building rapport, which was the principal subject of this podcast. The title was Building Rapport with Prospects. But you know, it could be building rapport with people as well. And we kind of got into speech patterns and mirroring prospects' cadence, and sometimes unconsciously mirroring their accents. Can you take us through, let's say that you are someone who's selling services, you're an independent person selling programming services, let's say, for example, and you get an email from a potential client, big client, like you're like, oh my gosh, this is a super important client. Take us through, like, what preparations would you go through, and take us through the call. Like, what would you do to make an amazing impression on this person and hopefully close the deal?
Great. I love that question. No one's ever asked me that, Tony. That's a great question. Thank you for asking that.
Hey, no problem.
First thing I do is I look at the individual. So we like to think that everyone's spending 15 minutes going through our LinkedIn profile. You got 15 seconds. That's how long someone's going to dedicate to going through your profile.
Okay.
But the client, I'm putting 15 minutes, half an hour in.
Okay. If you're the one who's selling the service, you're definitely going to put more than 15 seconds, right?
All as much as I can. Now I go from a Zoom meeting to a Zoom meeting to a Zoom meeting, which a lot of like sales development reps or business development reps in the US, just because I'm in this space all the time, that's what they do. But I'm like, I always have LinkedIn open. I have it muted in my Chrome browser, or else it'd be dinging all day. But I have it open and I have it muted. And how long do I have? Right. So if my earlier call ends at 10:57 and I got 3 minutes, I will dedicate all that time to to as much research into that profile as possible, because the answers are all there.
Yeah.
So, Tony, why do you follow this person? Tony, I see that you had military service. Where did you serve? That's interesting. You know, actually, you know what's something interesting, Tony, is that I live in the U.S. now, and the first time I brought my American wife to Canada, she's like, where's all the military? I said, what are you talking about? There's a different light shone on the military in Canada versus the U.S. It's not better or worse. It's just different. Oh, Tony, I see that you have a PHP development company. How did that start? How did you go from the military into PHP development? Did you get like a GI Bill and they paid for your education and you got into computer programming? What's that story? Oh, I see you saw this course. We took this course. What was the key takeaway out of this course? So all those answers are in the LinkedIn profile that you can find quickly. Second thing, big client, is everything I can about the company. When did the company start? Was it funded? Was it bootstrapped? Who are the co-founders? Oh, Tony, I noticed that you and your co-founder, Raphael, have very different backgrounds, right? How do you tie that together? What is the company's pain points? What are they talking about? Their posts on LinkedIn or on other social media, what are they talking about, right? Because there's no doubt that it's coming. The messaging is coming from the top in one way, shape, or form. Very rarely is someone running a company and not aware of the messaging that's going out from a marketing perspective.
Okay, so spending a good amount of time researching on LinkedIn is like step one for you. Like that's like prospecting 101, right? Know who you're calling and prepare some material, questions. Again, always to the questions, right?
100%. And that's nice. The person first, company second. And okay. Then how do you think your solution could fit in with what they're doing based on everything that you've assessed from the person?
Nice. Very nice. Yeah, I didn't think about the company part. I was focused on the person, but it's true. Because this is like a really important call for this person, right?
So. And everything I just said is based on a really important call.
Yeah.
Very I need nice. To land this airplane. I land this airplane, it makes my 2020. And it's December 23rd. How do I close this week? I got to close this, man, because I'm going to get my $40,000 bonus if I close this deal.
Yeah. Or I'm going to pay my rent.
Right?
So
hopefully you got enough money to pay your rent because you had a better 2020 than most. But.
Well, I mean, you know what? An independent business person, right? Just, you know, one person show, software developer that's run out of projects and gets, you know, a knock on the door from a big prospect. It's so important. It could be life-changing. So these tips are fantastic. So visit the personal LinkedIn profile, visit the company LinkedIn profile and their social media, okay? Okay, not just LinkedIn. And the goal is to be able to ask the right questions, right? To build rapport, and also to be able to perhaps tailor your business solution to their needs. Is that accurate?
100%. So let's talk about it from a Simply PHP perspective, if I may. So, okay, I'm at Simply PHP. I'm working with my handsome cousin, Tony, his partner, Raph. And this prospect comes in. Okay, first thing I'm doing is I'm looking at, again, the guy's LinkedIn profile or the girl's LinkedIn profile, mm-hmm. and the company information. But I'll dig a bit deeper because now I'm selling, you know, PHP development services out of Montreal. So who am I competing against? Probably overseas, right? And probably against American companies. Well, you know, there's a lot of advantages that Simply PHP, because they're based in Montreal or whatever the reasons are, there's huge advantages there. So I'm digging even deeper now. Now I'm looking into not just the company page on LinkedIn, but who are the employees? There's 50 employees in this company. Okay, they're based in Baltimore, Maryland. Interesting. So let's start with Baltimore, Maryland. How many are based in Baltimore? 30 of the 50. Where are the other 20 based? This is all searchable on LinkedIn. Oh, interesting. They're in X country or they're in wherever. Oh, you know what? They're using developers out of Brazil. Interesting. I wonder what headaches that might cause. You know, I'm sure the development is outstanding. Sorry, I'm going down. I should be careful what I'm saying. But the point is that how do I position myself if I've done enough research, and this is seconds, but if I've done enough research to see where are their people working? And oh, those 20 people are in development. Well, they're already offshoring. So if they're talking to me, likely they're having an issue with who they're mm-hmm. dealing with.
Yeah.
So how do I, what might that possible pain point be?
I bet you I can tell you what it is. No, just kidding. we won't go that far. But all right, so this is all leading up to the call. So let's say that you've replied by email, you've scheduled the Zoom, it's about to start, and so you're obviously going to try to build rapport first of all, and you're going to ask a lot of questions. Correct? Mm-hmm. And Do you feel like it's a natural, like when do you start going for the sale? All right, so obviously you have to go for the sale, right? You're not going to be one of those people. And it's funny, I was watching a quick clip of someone this morning on LinkedIn saying that you know, it's good to build rapport, but you don't want to just become friends and then leave without trying to make the sale, right? So it's super important. So take us through what you would do on a call, on a video call.
So I'll give you an example. The other day I was talking to someone from Baltimore. Okay.
Okay.
So what pops into your head, Tony, about Baltimore or Maryland? Anything? And it's okay if there's nothing.
Yeah.
But
yeah. The baseball. I think of baseball. I went to a ball game. So in Baltimore, I love the Orioles. So yeah, baseball.
Beautiful. So I talked to this guy. He's wearing a Baltimore Ravens hat, which is the football team. Right. So right off, I got things to talk about. And then I would talk, well, you know, I've been to Baltimore and, you know, I didn't get to go to a game at Camden Yards, but I stood there at the Iron Gates next to the statues of all these great, you know, Orioles. And I'm looking in and, you know, I couldn't shut the guy up about sports, but then I have to pivot, right, to back what we're talking about. So tell me about your company a little bit. I already know all the answers because I've done the research.
Okay.
Fantastic. So, and I know, or I'm making an assumption he's offshoring because I found the 20 people. So what are you using currently? Well, you're offshoring. Interesting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that there's pros and cons to that. What are some of the pros, right? Because I'm not going to talk negatively about the competitor. Tell me, what are some of the pros about them? Because the reality is we probably have those pros as well. What are the challenges? What would make it easier for you, Mr. Baltimore, Mrs. Baltimore? You know, if in an outsource partner.
So let me interrupt you for 1 second, Nick.
Yep.
Just 1 second. So I think it's fascinating that you haven't talked about yourself yet. And I think that's super important because a lot of people, what they'll do as soon as they get on the call is they'll take a deep breath and then they'll just start talking about their services and how great they are. I love the fact that you are asking them questions right away.
Because I learned that from you. But I did talk about myself, Tony. I talked about standing at the gates at Camden Yards, right? I painted myself into the local picture.
Nice. Right? Oh, very cool.
But the person, so we use Brazil as an example.
Yeah.
So the person in Brazil, do they have a Baltimore story? Do they know, you know, how great that Baltimore Ravens defense was 10 years ago? Do they know... You know, oh man, this one time, man, Camden Yards, whatever. Best crab cake I've ever had. I think about crab cakes from Baltimore at least once a week.
They are the best. Oh, that's true. I forgot about the crab cakes.
And you know what's interesting? I'll tell you a funny story. You know where I've had the best crab cakes in my life? Baltimore in the Inner Harbor at a Cheesecake Factory. And you're thinking, Cheesecake Factory? The Cheesecake Factory is great, but why would they have you have to have the best crab cakes if you're going to be a Cheesecake Factory selling crab cakes in Baltimore, right? Best crab cakes I've ever had, and I love crab cakes. So
I can't tell that you love crab cakes, Nick. You look so buff.
Well, there's a few. I'm a little fluffy right now. It's a lot of COVID crab cakes. Actually, you know what? I think I'm making crab cakes for dinner now. I think that just got decided. So anyway, long story short, I've painted myself into this guy's subconscious.
Nice.
Right. But now tell me about what you're doing. I don't want to hear. You don't want to hear why I'm so great. But tell me. Oh, interesting about all those pros. Well, you know what? Actually, yeah, we have all those things. And in fact, on the one pro, we kind of go a little bit deeper. Even we can do this. Oh, they're doing that already off the one shoot of the branch. Interesting. What about this? Well, they don't do that. Here's why we do that. Here's why we take that extra step. Right. Oh, nice. You do Right. And but if you've done your research and you know, like even, I mean, it depends on, you know, how aggressive you want to be, but oh, they're in Brazil. Interesting. So on your in-house team, you have some people. Yeah, in-house. Okay. Are they all from Baltimore? Does anyone speak Portuguese?
Yeah, that's good.
Interesting. Well, because that, right? And I'm not even saying that that's a good thing or a bad thing or that,
Yeah.
but I am, it's just positioning. I'm moving the pieces around the chess table, right?
Very nice.
And at the end of the day, when he tells me what his real pain point is, look, here's the problem. I need to have a scrum every morning at 8 a.m. Sometimes they're there, sometimes they're not. The work is good, the this is good, but our timelines are out of whack. Well, let me tell you our approach, which has been effective for us. I'm not saying it's the right approach, but I'm saying it's worked really well for us and our client base, which is also on the Eastern time zone, right? Because you're in Baltimore, we're in the same time zone here in Montreal. So here's how we handle that, right?
Yeah, very nice, very nice. That's that's great advice. That basically takes us through the whole podcast and how it's applicable. Before we go, Nick, tell me what is happening with Nick Capozzi now. What's going on? What's going on in your life? Anything you wanna talk about on your end? I know you've been really kicking butt on LinkedIn. I enjoy your quick 2 and 3 minute videos. Talk to me.
So it was really funny because, you know, I had a LinkedIn account. I never used it before October 13th. And that date is circled on my calendar because that was the day I started putting videos out. And, you know, I mentioned earlier, I have a broadcast background and I was always hesitant to be a consultant or whatever it is I'm doing. I still don't know because there's too many options right now. And I'm only 2 months into this little journey here. So I'm figuring out, I want to go look at the buffet before I come back on my first plate, right?
Okay.
So, but I started putting videos out and kind of short, punchy, a little bit funny, trying to be funny anyway. I don't know if it's actually effective, but
It is. I love your videos. They're funny, they're educational, they're sharp, they're fast. Love it.
and people say that was that's easy for you, Nick. It's not easy for me for two reasons. First of all, every con so many of my connections, I'm connected to CEOs of cruise lines. That was my industry for 20 years. It's on pause. I'm not going back. I had my time. It was amazing, but I'm not going to go back to the cruise industry. But at the same time, I'm now pushing myself out there to where these people are going to see me, right? And I'm not the button down executive wearing a tuxedo 2 nights a week. You know, now I'm like, hey, let's talk. Let's be a little bit silly. The other thing is that everyone's like, it's easy for you, Nick. It's not, because everyone has an expectation that it should be a certain level of how good it should be, because I do have a broadcast background, right?
Yeah.
So that's also terrifying, right? Is putting myself out there. But what happened is I put out now 12 or 14 videos in just over a month, or over 2 months, excuse me. And they've taken off, man. They've taken off, and people are engaging and people are liking it. And it's interesting. A lot of people are coming to me now and saying, hey, you should do this, or you should do that, or hey, let's partner on something. So it's been really great to, one, get more embedded into the sales community here in the US, because it's a big community, but it's also really small. And I'll throw this out there. If you want to start getting involved in sales communities in the US, go to revgenius.com, REV genius.com. It's a great sales community that's out there. It's a great jumping off point. So yeah, so it's just been this fun, exciting ride of working for myself. And but I will tell you, you know, putting those videos out and putting the content out and putting myself out, and I've essentially sold out of the time I had available for Q1. So I went from a dead stop October 13th and essentially not existing to being sold out in 5 or 6 weeks. And it was just from the content. So
That's fantastic. And sold out for sales consulting services, I imagine. Is
So
that?
what's interesting, Tony, is that the videos I put out, those are then specifically the things people want to talk about, right?
Okay, nice.
So I have some sales training. So I have a few companies where I'm going to be, you know, weekly breaking down their 30-minute Zoom meetings and kind of coaching their team on how to do that. You know, others are based around content. Hey, your content does really well. Can you do some content for our company, right? And I think what's been interesting is that I like to have options. And like I said, I want to see what's at the buffet before I fill up my plate. But I think what's interesting is I really like doing the content. And I think the future for me is going to be creating content. And whether that's an evangelist for a brand or a company, or whether that's, you know, stuff for people's online funnels or whatever it is, you know, I do really enjoy creating the content. That's still, I think, my favorite thing. And I think that's that old school radio guy in me still trying to be relevant.
Yeah, you definitely look like you have a lot of fun doing it, Nick, and it's pleasurable to watch. So that's, you know, wow, that's a good spot to be in. I could also see you, and I think you've done in the past, where you've gone and visited sales teams and, you know, basically looked at what they were doing, looked at their structure, and done some sales team consulting in the past. That would be an amazing path as well.
And I think, you know, I think we'll see what happens. I think, though, mm-hmm. you know, one thing that's interesting about being in the U.S. that it's perspective I never thought as much of in Canada is how to scale it, right? Because that sandbox here is 10 times bigger. And in Canada, people want to be your friend and really get to know you before they'll buy from you. In America, everyone's going to listen to 45-second elevator, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
So it's how can I scale it? How can I just, you know, how can I have the lifestyle I want, scale a business and do what I want? And that's what I'm trying to figure out, you know, kind of the dream. But, you know, for the first time in a long time, I really feel like I'm on the verge of figuring all that out. So it's a fun time. It's an exciting time. And, you know, I took the chicken shit that was 2020 and I made chicken salad. So let me actually go out and get some good groceries now and see what I can chef up for 2021. But it's going to be a good year. I promise you that.
Very, very nice, Nick. Very, very nice. Listen, I wish you all the best. You look great. You sound great. You look like you're someone that's very, very happy. And before we went live, you told me what you're doing over the holidays. That sounds amazing. I really wish you the best. And if anyone wants to get in contact with Nick, I think he's probably... Are there any other Nick Capozzis on LinkedIn? I think you're probably the only one. Right.
Yeah, there's a couple, but I think just because of the engagement I have, I think I usually pop up. But if not, there's a picture of me wearing a baseball cap. You can't see it from the top in the picture, but it's an Expos hat.
Okay.
Montreal Expos.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're one of the people that want the Expos to come back to Montreal. Okay, I got it.
Listen, Gary Vee wants to buy the New York Jets. If I ever become a billionaire, I'm bringing the Expos back to Montreal. How about that?
All right. I'll be first in line for a season ticket, my man. First in line.
So you'll sit in the box with me, buddy.
All right. So we're going to wrap it up. Thank you again, Nick. Very, very nice. Like I said, it's always a pleasure talking to you. And we'll do another one in January. We'll think of another great topic that can bring value to our viewers. And thank you very much, everyone, for tuning in. I wish you a Merry Christmas. All the best to you and your family. I'm not sure if we're going to do a podcast next week. If we don't, have the best 2021. All the best in the new year. Like Nick said, let's put 2020 behind us and look forward. And thank you very much, everyone.
Happy holidays, everybody.